This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
I'm going to talk with Brian Broaddus in just a moment. Before we do, I have a question. Two questions. A, did you feel like Stephen Jones, when we talked with him earlier today, was kind of resided to the fact that Jerry has made the call on keeping Jason for this season and letting that dream try to live out?
A little bit.
And
a lot of it.
It sounded like he had no other option. You know, like, I don't have a choice. It's Jerry's decision.
Yep.
So here we're going to do the best with what we have. We are fully confident that these are the guys, and we'll roll along with it. The other question I had is, am I in trouble as I have asked my wife to pack everything up, and she said, but I need a minute to chill. And I said, you can chill in the drive on the ride over there.
Well, see, you are in trouble because I don't think you should be in trouble.
Oh,
and that's the perfect sign of when I know you are in trouble. Because to me, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to think, because you've set what your expectations are timing-wise, and she's not meeting them. So theoretically, she should get it together. But that's why I know you're wrong, because I've never been married and I run into these types of problems quite a bit.
All right, let's go to our man Brian Broaddus right now here.
My wife is stupid.
What are you doing, Chippy? That's not helping at all. Broaddus, how's it going today, man?
Doing well, boys. How about yourself?
We are just trying to fix this thing before the season is over. We're trying to salvage whatever we have left, but I think a lot of people are already done. A lot of people are already they're moving on to the next head coach, and I am very curious about your mindset with making a move just to go ahead and put Rashard in there. If he turns out to do something good, you can still go get a big fish, right?
No, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm not going to muddy this thing up anymore than it is, you know. And again, I don't need a split locker room. I don't need anything to kind of cause me problems. You know, Jason Garrett, you hired him 10 years ago to get you to the playoffs. You know, he's done it a couple different times. He's won the division. I'm not doing anything to keep me from getting what I ultimately want. And I feel like, though, let him coach this thing out. Let him have the final four games. If they're good enough to get in, they haven't beaten anybody that's going to be in the playoffs. So if your expectations are to do anything past that, well, then, you know, try and fool me on that, because you've already fooled me enough this season, you know. So I'm not doing anything other than letting Jason Garrett coach this thing out. And then at the end of it, I'm going to evaluate it, and I'm going to say, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at with my roster, and this is the type of head coach I need to have. And 77-year-old Jerry Jones needs to push all the chips to the middle of the table and cast a big, big wide net and try and take any resource he has. You know, he's told us, he said, hey, you will not believe the things I will do to try and win a Super Bowl again. Let's see if he's a man of his word on that. You know, let's see him go out and make somebody tell him no. I think everybody has prices out there. He just needs to ask a bunch of questions and kind of make a plan where he wants to go. But he needs to go get him a real head coach. He's tried to develop a coach. It worked for him for 10 years. He needs to go out now. He's, you know, we're down on campaigns. You know, he's an older gentleman and all that. Hey, you hope that Jerry lives to 100, but now's the time to make that big, bold move. And I think that if you have a guy like Chris Rashard there and they get in the playoffs, fine and all that, great. But I think we need to focus on the bigger picture, and that's going to find the next head coach of this team that can not only make Jerry Jones happy, but make the fan base happy as well.
You experienced the 5-11 Campo seasons, and
we were awful.
And
we were absolutely awful.
Was Jerry saying the same kind of things as he was getting on a plane to talk to Bill Parcells?
I think when he was talking to Bill Parcells, he was trying to get a $1 billion stadium built. I don't think he could run another coach out there that was to no offense to Greg Roman or anybody like that, I don't think he could have run an assistant out there and got his stadium passed. He needed a literally a big fish, a big tuna to make this happen. And, you know, he bet $25 million on Bill Parcells basically to get this stadium built. You know, he got his team going the right direction. Wade Phillips, you know, took a little advantage of that himself. But, yeah, I think those are things now that Jerry Jones, he has to, you know, if his hand is going to be firmly on the wheel, which I think it is, you know, he is going to have to look at himself and say, okay, I have got to strike big, and I've got to make sure that it sets me up to where I have a chance to enjoy the way this team's playing and not being a 6-6 team. I think Stephen Jones did a great job with you guys today. You know, there's a lot of disappointment, you know, but that needs to change. And Jerry has the ability, he has the finances, and he has the inside to do this, to go out and hire a big-time coach.
Did you think we also did a great job?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the deal. You have to be able to ask questions to get good answers. And, you know, I'm always one of those guys, I listen very closely to how people interview. And, yeah, I think you guys did a really good job with that.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Is Bill Belichick too big of a name for Jerry to try to go get?
Why not? Why not? You know, we don't know Bill Belichick's contract situation. We don't know what the situation is with him and Robert Kraft. Nobody's talked about years left or anything like that. You know, you should not check anybody off your list. You should not take anybody off your list. This should be one of those searches where it's like, start at the top and then work your way down. But, you know, you don't go too far down, but you go out there and make this thing happen. Again, you know, I believe Bill Belichick makes $12 million a year. I believe that's his contract. But, you know, it's one of those things. Is it year to year? How is he working? You know, somebody will figure this out. But if I'm Jerry Jones, as powerful a man as I am, I'm going to find out what the situation is with a lot of these coaches. And I'm going to make sure I go get the right one.
And, all right, so you find the right one. How many guys on the coaching staff are safe? Or is there anybody?
Oh, no. No, no. This is not, hey, take this guy kind of a bit. No, This is one of those things where you're going to evaluate the staff. Now, you can make suggestions if you're Steven and Jerry and Will McClay. You can absolutely make suggestions. If they bring somebody in here they like, say they go get Urban Meyer. Okay, I'm just using the name Urban Meyer, a very established head coach. He's won everywhere he's been. Urban Meyer might not have – now, Urban Meyer has the relationships with pro coaches around the country because everybody's gone into Ohio State. Everybody's evaluated his players. So he knows guys. Now, he could put together a great staff, but you might say, hey, listen, you know, maybe he asks, what about Kellen Moore? Well, what about Mark Colombo? What about – maybe he asks those questions. I'm not forcing anybody on a coach. I'm just going to let this coach make their own evaluation. I'm hiring a guy that's going to come in here and turn this thing around for the positive.
All right, so we've talked about, you know, or the Cowboys and the Jones have talked about, we still believe this, we still believe that. Looking cold, sure, hard, objectively at the schedule, the last four games, you've got a couple of teams that have been like floundering or may have just flat out given up before you even get to the Eagles game. What is your perspective in terms of like how achievable some of your goals?
They fooled me. Peggy, they fooled me. They fooled me. I'm the guy that every week thought that they were going to win because they were better, because they were a better team, because they had better talent, because they, you know, because they were doing things. They haven't done anything to give you any hope that they could consistently. Stephen Jones talked about it: lack of turnovers. You know, not turning over or turning over the ball themselves. You know, finishing drives. It's not just one thing. It's not the kicking situation. There's so many things that you have to point to that cost them games. Now, I agree with Mickey when he was on earlier with you guys. I thought they flat just got beat yesterday. I thought Buffalo was a better team yesterday the way they played. You know, they did a great job on third down. They got after the quarterback. They forced turnovers. When you had the opportunity to turn them over, you didn't recover a fumble on a fourth and one, and they got a first down. You know, this team has done nothing to give me that feeling of like, yeah, they could pull this around. We could circle the wagons. Everything's going to be okay. You know, now the thing about it's great for them is the fact that Philadelphia Eagles are in the same damn shape they are.
Yeah.
You know, they have the same problems you are, but they have a little bit different path that you take. And so if you want to ask me, you know, how about prove to me that you guys could actually do everything you need to do to win a football game? You know, how about, again, finish drive? How about stop somebody on third down, you know, to get the ball back?
How about that Josh Allen play? How many players on the Cowboys?
Josh Allen's not a bad player, Hagee. You know that.
No. No, I'm saying, like, that play where he willed himself to a first down.
Sure.
How many players do the Cowboys have offensively or defensively that can single-handedly will themselves to make a game-changing play?
Well, Dak tried to when he ran over White. He tried to, you know, he knew he had to get a first down. He had to keep the drive going. I think you saw Zeke continue to run tough. It's all been wasted, though, because they can't sustain anything. You know, they move the ball up and down the field, and you brought it up. I think I was listening to you guys. You know, four downs, you know, they throw the ball four times. You know, I mean, how many times have they been down in the 10 and they came up with a damn creative play that flood right to get the ball to Witten? Where's stuff like that? You know, where you got to have some of those plays where you can kind of say, okay, we can get 4 yards here and get a touchdown, or, you know, we can get a first down on this play. You know, I'm not going to get fooled anymore. You know, I'm not, you know, they can sit there and tell me all they want. You know, again, you could pee on my head and call it rain, but it's not raining. You know, that's what it is.
Brought us when you hear Stephen Jones say they aren't, they're not pursuing a kicker.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong there. It looks like, you know, when you're going to ask me about who do you go get, I'll tell you what, the New England Patriots lost their kicker again. Nick Folk, appendectomy, he's out. They got to go at Kyle Forbath as their kicker now. You know, here's a team that's 10-1, and they're down now to their fourth, fifth kicker. So, yeah, that thing looks like the kicking board. That looks like a turkey, you know, a turkey carcass today. It's been picked over, and all that's left is bones and skin. You know, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. You're kind of, oh, hey, maybe there's a little meat here. Well, maybe not, you know. So he's not wrong. But, yeah, it is what it is. But, yeah, how about block for the field goal? You know, how about not get a punt block last week? How about block, you know, not get the ball tipped on a 35-yard field goal? You know, the kicker, yeah, I get it. But, you know, how about a little bit better protection up front, both punt and field goal?
Hey, we were talking a little bit about the coaching staff and how nobody's got a safeness there. What about the coach's philosophy on player? Do you have to rebuild your team now?
Well, it depends on who you hire. You know, again, all indications are that they're going to ride with Jason Garrett. Let's see how it ends. I don't think it's going to end well for him. You know, I can now say that with confidence because I don't work in that building anymore. But, you know, what? To me, it's one of those things that, you know, if you look at you have to think about, okay, Will McClay is going to have to be a part of these interviews when it gets to that point, because he's going to have to say, okay, this guy's philosophy is this scheme-wise, and his philosophy is the scheme-wise on defense for this. And so you have to kind of look at your team and say, okay, you don't want to eliminate anybody, but when you're interviewing him, you have to say, hey, listen, what is your philosophy about this? You know, go read Mike Lombardi's book about Gridiron Genius. It talks about how you interview a head coach. How do you go about the process of finding a coach? It gives you a lot of insight on that, on the questions you need to ask, and how you have to have a plan in the interview in order to get the right coach.
Now, just a minute ago, we were talking about, I thought it was a really funny analogy about the kicking board, and it's been picked clean like the turkey carcass. I'm really curious, since we just had Thanksgiving, are you a light meat or a dark meat fella?
Are you trying to set me up for something here?
No, this is a perfectly reasonable Thanksgiving-based question. It's not.
No. There's some setup going on here. I feel set up. Hey, you know what I had for Thanksgiving yesterday at the game?
What's that?
A soda product.
Nice.
A soda. Yeah, had a vanilla drink. Yeah, it was really good, too, let me tell you. But, yeah, no, I'm more of – to answer your question, Hagee, I'm just kidding you. I will do – The white meat, the dark meat. I like both. I really don't. And someone always asks you, well, would you like some white meat? No, just put it on the plate. I'm good. Whatever you put on the plate is good for me. I'm all about that.
I don't know why Corey is laughing. I swear that was a legitimate.
You know what? You guys are the biggest JAs in the world. You know what I'm saying?
I was just asking that normal question. It's not my fault.
No. There is nothing good about either one of you. Nothing.
We just raised $20,000 for charity on Wednesday, Bronis.
You know what? And that might be the only thing you guys are good at.
Listen to how quickly you're backtracking on that. Nothing good about us, except for this one thing.
Yeah, no. My possibilities is lucky to have you, trust me. But other than that, you guys should be kicked to the curb for sure.
We asked great questions. You complimented us on our question asking earlier.
I had second thoughts about that right now.
That's two things now. I got two. I count two, Kevin.
That's more than we had 10 seconds ago, so I like it. Well, Broadus, we always appreciate your insight. And again, thank you so very much for the 4 hours that you put in with us at Peace-a-thon this year. And every single year, we raise a ton of money, man.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. In all seriousness, that was, you know, we all talked about it, kicked it around as an idea, and you guys took it and ran with it. So, you know, give yourselves a lot of credit. And again, my possibilities is a great organization, but they're very fortunate to have you guys a part of it. And thanks for having me on today, and we'll catch up again real soon, okay?
Adios, Broadus.
Love you guys. See ya.
See, he said it back.
Boom.
If he didn't love us, you know, if he didn't think we had more than two redeeming qualities, he wouldn't have said he loved us.
Two's not bad.
Two's good.
I can find a lot of people in my personal life who'd be like, seems high. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's rivalry weekend in college football. Plus, let's make even more money than we already have. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece. Kevin, before we dive in on the betting segment here where we're going to make you all the monies and some college football as well. The name Josh McDaniels is popping up a lot of places right now. I saw it on 105.3thefan.com. I don't love that. I know he's a Bill Belichick disciple. I know he exists with Bill Belichick. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of what is wrong with their offense this year. I do love the fact that he came up with a completely new offense in the middle of a Super Bowl game, and they were able to score the one touchdown that they needed.
Right.
But I've seen that guy fail and then fail and then go back to Bill Belichick and then try to leave and then back out of a job.
Yeah.
I just don't, he seems spineless and I don't like it.
Well, it kind of sounds like the exact kind of coach we would hire here.
You need a spineless coach? Huh. I don't know about that, man.
I mean, you've still heard the narrative that to a certain extent you want a coach that will kind of do the bidding of the owner and the GM. And like a lot of times, you
gotta work within the parameters.
Garrett looks
what
like he has great posture.
I mean,
yeah,
you gotta work within the parameters of any owner. Like that's just how it works. Whenever you work for a company, you gotta work within their parameters, but you also have to have the freedom to do a lot of things and have a lot of power within the players.
Do you think Garrett has a lot of freedom?
To coach the team, yes. I think at this point they're actually like as hands off as they could possibly be with him.
Okay. Wow.
But I think that's because they're gonna let him do it himself.
Wow.
So anyway. All right. You ready to go ahead and hit this one?
Let's go college football, baby.
Let's do it. Kevin, at the moment, 28-21, Texas is up on Texas Tech in the third quarter.
So if Texas were to lose this game, would that put them at 6-6?
Yeah, and they would be out of the college football playoff for sure.
I mean, I feel like that happened a really, really long time ago.
Is it not true? That's all I'm asking.
It's not true.
Oh, okay.
And if Texas lost this game, that would drop them down to 6th. In the Big 12, which this is a team that like said, hey, maybe we can win the Big 12 title. And they've just been god awful this year. They're 6-5. They had the hilarious statement a couple weeks ago where Tom Herman was like, yeah, we're pretty much the same as Baylor. We just haven't won some of those close games. And then they got absolutely annihilated by Baylor. That's a Baylor team, which, by the way, next weekend goes up against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. Speaking of Texas, though, word going around is that Tom Herman could soon make some changes to his coaching staff. Do you think, and it could happen as early as today, regardless of what happens in the Tech game, so they can start recruiting on Monday, do you think those are changes that Tom Herman wants to make or changes that Texas is like, look, dude, you need to do something because this ain't working.
I think that's the route of which it's going on. Or maybe he is looking at it saying, I have to change something. Maybe he is reevaluating himself rather than the rest of Texas saying that about him. You have to if you're a coach and whatever you're doing isn't functioning right. You got to come up with some sort of solution to solve the problem. Being able to identify it, I don't know that you have to do it publicly, You know, like you can do those things without ever anybody knowing, right? Or is that impossible?
I mean, you can, like, but that's just never, ever what happens.
Instead of that, you just kind of do the things.
Just be on the lookout for them to make some changes. And in the meantime, Texas Tech has had their own devastatingly poor season. They're sitting at 4-7. So even if they win this game, like this is the last game of the season for Tech one way or another. They will not be eligible for a bowl game. But then get ready. Oklahoma, Baylor, next weekend, Big 12 championship. I was curious something in particular for you, Corey, because you've got Bedlam coming up tomorrow night. When there's not as much on the line, what is your level of like rivalry excitement? Because I know like Texas is a rival, but Oklahoma State is a rival as well. When you're already in the Big 12 championship, you know it's probably unlikely, though not impossible, that you would make it into the college football playoff. How hyped do you get for those like slightly lesser rivalry games?
Well, I mean, that's not a lesser rivalry game, Kevin. That's one of the big ones.
Lesser stakes, I'm saying, in terms of like...
I love stakes.
Okay, relax.
All stakes are important, Kevin.
Okay.
Listen, when it comes to this game, it doesn't matter if it's... You don't want your the one of your biggest rivals to ever have a chance to be like, you know what, we got it up on you though, ha ha. You don't want that opportunity. Also, it does mean a lot for Oklahoma. Like it may not mean that much to them, but it means a lot to Oklahoma to be. You can't lose this game, and for the way they won the last game, as close as that was in the college football playoff rankings. Like just to have a name in there anywhere, OU has to win pretty big. So it still means you got to convince yourself that it means a lot because it does to you, even if it doesn't to them.
What would you think about this as an ending?
Plus, they got some talent there, dude. They still have some. Chuba Hubbard's not a bad back, dude.
What do you think about this as the ending to a rivalry game? Did you see what happened in the Mississippi State Ole Miss game last night?
Ooh, I did not. I was watching the Kacey Musgraves Christmas special.
Oh, how was that?
She's hot.
Okay. So Mississippi State is ahead of Ole Miss 21-20. Elijah Moore catches a touchdown pass, and then he was penalized for crawling on the ground and lifting his leg and pretending to pee like a dog.
Ah, the old Odell Beckham move.
Because of that, unsportsmanlike penalty, 15 yards. A 20-yard extra point turns into a 35-yard extra point, which is then missed by Luke Logan, and Ole Miss loses 21-20.
Kicker needs to make his kicks.
So do you look at the kicker, or do you look at Elijah Moore for getting the penalty?
How much further back was the
15
kick?
15 yards on sportsmanlike penalty.
Where is the kick typically then?
20.
At the 20, so it was a 35-yard field goal?
Yeah, no, so it went from a 20-yard extra point to a 35-yard extra point.
You should be able to make that.
But does any of the heat fall on the
kid? Yes, absolutely. Okay. You should. Why are you doing that celebration? What's the point of it? I still don't get the point of that. I also don't understand calling it. I mean, it seems kind of dumb. There's lots of celebrations out there. Whatever. If you just thought it was in bad taste and that's why you threw the flag, that's ridiculous.
All right, Shippy, I got a story for you. Missouri, they're infuriated because... their bowl ban has been upheld, and now lawyers with Missouri are saying that cooperating with the NCAA wasn't worth it.
Oh,
and they think the NCAA infractions committee has, quote, abused its discretion because a tutor said they helped athletes complete schoolwork instead of helping them with it. They pretty much did the work for them. So they've been banned from being in a bowl, and the NCAA committee, they said, yep, still there. So Missouri's kind of like, don't know if it was worth it.
How many bowl games can they be banned from just this one?
I think it's just this year. You could get banned for a long time, but I think it's just going to be this year. Now,
is that big of a deal?
I mean, probably.
Financially, how much does a team make off of a lower tier bowl?
Like $1 million.
I don't know.
If you go to like the BCS Bowls, then you're talking 15 to 20 million. So a couple of other ranked games this weekend, Cincinnati against Memphis. But I think the one most people are going to be focusing on, well, I guess there's a few tomorrow. Alabama, Auburn, 2:30 kick. Wisconsin against Minnesota, 2:30 kick. Whoever wins that game will advance to play Ohio State in the Big 10 championship game. So I'm really interested in that. And then 11 a.m. kickoff, Ohio State against the Fighting Derek Hollins in the Big House. Ohio State, 9.5-point favorite. Broda said during Peace-a-thon, he thinks Ohio State is the best all-around team in college football. Do you think Michigan could pull the upset?
No.
Oh, it happened so fast.
Well, I mean, like, you know this, though.
Yeah.
Michigan just doesn't, they're not good anymore. Sorry.
Whoa, they're top 15. Sorry. Thank you very much.
I know Shippy's wearing that Michigan hoodie today.
That's true.
And I know I Derek is a huge Michigan fan, but they're not good enough to beat that team. I don't, as big as that
is
rivalry.
Anybody.
Yeah, as big as that rivalry is too, like it's a really great rivalry. I'd love to see it. Because Kevin, that happens, then is that a little chaos thrown into the college football monkey wrench there?
Absolutely, but, because now I understood. Because now you no longer think that the Big Ten is automatically guaranteed somebody in the college football playoff, and then maybe that would move Minnesota back into the mix as well if they were still able to be. It would be really fascinating. But there's one more thing I wanted to throw out there because this is terrible. I don't know what the school is, but there is a college out there that's Division II, the FCS, the championship series, that reportedly is thinking about hiring Art Briles. Why a college would want Art Briles, I don't understand. I don't.
Your PR team has to be sitting there going, what? Yeah. What? No. But you know what, Kevin? There is no story as great as a redemption story. And so maybe the
Redemption story for somebody who is okay with college girls getting raped.
I think that redemption, like some things get passed by too, man.
But shouldn't his redemption story be that he like works with domestic abuse and sex trafficking people, not that he coaches well in football?
What if he does and you don't know that story because you're ignoring it?
Okay, that'd be great because all I hear is UIL violations and other things that he's not doing. I hope that is the case.
I don't know what else he does. And maybe he opens up with a bigger role somewhere. And explains more about it. He probably won't because didn't he have to sign the keep my mouth shut thing to get his money? So maybe he'll never talk about it at all, and we'll always just be in a situation where he gets a lot of the blame for these things, especially with the information we know, the damning information that's out there. Kevin, real quick, this was the most watched Thanksgiving game day on CBS in 27 years.
Yeah, big shock.
Oh.
Cowboys. I didn't see the numbers here's yet, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
It was, according to my friend Kevin Gray, he says 32.538 million viewers. So there you go.
How many?
32.538 million.
Wow. Wow. You got some bets for me? You want to make some money? We already told you you should bet Buffalo. I know it hurt some people's feelings, but we said you should bet Buffalo this
week. I
feel
like that was like the easiest one.
Yeah, except for between Kavanaugh and Bassick, there's a really weird back and forth. I don't even know if they ever hammered out the details of their bet, but yeah, take Buffalo.
Let's make bets. Hit the music, Shippy. Oh, do we not have music for this?
Oh,
okay. It's all right, dude. All right, so Bears. Bears like, minus three, Kevin, at the Lions.
I mean, yes, retroactively,
Saints,
I would definitely
minus
take
seven at the Falcons.
Oh, that sounds like they're not going to get
Titans
that.
At Colts minus three.
The Titans are favored against the Colts, huh?
Yeah, the fighting Tannehills.
And the Tannehills have... No. Aren't the Colts favored in that game?
It says Titans at Colts, minus three.
Oh, the Colts are minus three. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I'll take the Titans. The Tannehills are rolling.
I'm not betting that game. It just seems like it's those two teams score too close of
I'm
scores.
Not betting any of them because that is legal.
Yeah, that's a good call, Shippy.
Thank you.
I mean, you can definitely bet.
Should I dump this segment?
No, you should not.
We're kind of incriminating ourselves.
49ers at Ravens, minus six.
No, I believe in the fighting Lamar Jacksons more than anything in the universe.
Ooh, who do you like, the fighting Lamar Jacksons or the fighting Tannehills? See, I think
you have to... Tannehill even went to A&M, but come on, man. Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league.
But who's better fightings? You know, that's the question. Rams. I
mean, Lamar Jackson had to fight even to get into the league. Here's the weird thing about, I'm sorry, I know this is not the point of this. Here's the weird thing about this league in general, and you can determine why you think this happened however you want. Ryan Tannehill converted from being a wide receiver to a quarterback. People lost their mind, and he got picked in the top 10. Lamar Jackson was a Heisman Trophy winner, and people tried to convert him to a different position, and he barely got drafted in the first round. The NFL is weird how they determine who is and is not worthy of being a quarterback, and now Lamar Jackson's going to go win an MVP.
MVP. Rams.
MVP. Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry, Shippy. I didn't mean – I know when you start a chant, you're supposed to do it three times.
At,
I didn't really –
at least, right?
Rams -3 at the Cardinals.
You know what? Give me Kyler Murray. I think the Rams are done.
The fighting Kylers,
I think,
huh?
The Rams have straight up given up.
I think we're just going to start calling every team the fighting whatever quarterback they are. Raiders at Chiefs -9.5.
The fighting LP Leducers.
Nope.
Give me the Raiders.
Wow. Right,
man, if they could win, that'd be super awesome.
With 9.5
awesome.
Points.
But I want them to at least cover the spread and make this game competitive. If they win, they would be in first place.
Browns -2 at the Steelers.
No. Ah.
That's a close spread right there, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns. The Steelers have let me down when I thought they were going to go on a crazy run. I'm going to go with the Browns because I think the Browns also think that they still got done wrong from the last time those two teams played, and they can get back up to 500 with this. Go ahead and give me the Browns.
Patriots -3 at the Texans.
I'll take the Patriots.
And the Vikings at the Seahawks -3.
Give me the Seahawks.
What's our record last week, by the way? Did you happen to have that jotted down?
We only bet one game, and we won.
Nice.
100% is pretty good.
Because we didn't
face.
Have the chance to do this segment last week. We're the K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's cross talk with the G-Bag Nation or Mike Bassick and friends. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.